Okay. We're holding on Yurdomid Bays about 12 lines from the bottom. The line begins Dekainam. We were talking about yesterday, so the Mishnah mentioned a number of Kinuyim, of Nedarim and Shavua and whatever, and then we talked about what if you have variations on those Kinuyim. We said actually, there's Machlokas B'Shama B'Shilo, whether Kinuyim are still effective or not. And we gave various examples. Okay, so far we had all the Kinuyim and the various Kinuyim of Nedarim. What about now? Kinuyim de Shavua Hesidami. What are some examples of a kinui of Shavua? So the Mishnah had given us three examples of a kinui of Shavua: Shavusa, Shkuka, or Gemoyi. So what are kinuyim of that? Variations on that, which we might say Bishamai hold are still valid, Nedarim and Basil would hold or not. Which, as we said yesterday, also the Radvaz explains that we might be taking the view that Bishamai is saying if you take the kinui and make a further change to it, that it's still valid, but still doesn't agree with that. But if you took the original word like Shavua or whatever, and did the same kind of transformation to it, maybe they still would accept it. So what are some examples? For example, Shavuel, Shavusil, Shkukil. So for example, you take the word Shavua and turn it into Shavuel. You take the word Shavusa from our Mishnah and turn it into Shavusil. You take the word Shkuka from our Mishnah and turn it into Shkukil. What do you mean, Shavuel? Shavuel ben Gershom Mashma. Shavuel is actually a name of a person. And we said yesterday, you don't make Nedarim, but you don't make Shavuel, so Nedarim using the name of a person. That's not effective. This Shavuel, by the way, has a bit of an interesting story. He's mentioned in Divrei Hayamim as David HaMelech's treasurer. The Gemara in Bava Basra tells the story like this. Right, we mentioned briefly yesterday, we talked about how No, the expression is Shavuel ben Gershom. The expression of the pasuk is Shavuel ben Gershom ben Menach ben Moshe. So he says, so according to that, he's literally Moshe's grandson. You find people lived long in those times sometimes. I mean, so you have also, look, you know, from Nachshon ben Aminadab until Boaz, who was in the middle of the time of the Shoftim. You know, you only have Nachshon, his son is Salmon, and his son already is Boaz, you know. So yeah, sometimes you find such things. Yeah. Okay, anyway, whatever it is, anyway, we talked yesterday about how Yisroel made Moshe make a couple of promises, a Shavua, including one of them was that he's going to raise one of his children to be an Ovid Avodah Zarah. So somebody asked on that, I mean, Yisroel, yeah, that's everybody asked, I mean, Yisroel himself discovered the falseness of, Yisroel himself discovered the falseness and the ridiculousness of Avodah Zarah. Why would he do such a thing? I saw an interesting explanation once that Yisroel figured like this. You know what, Yisroel figured, look, you know why I know so clearly about the Eibishter? Because I first worshipped and then went through all the gods and all the idols and whatever in the world. Then I realized how foolish they are. And now the avodah that I do to the Eibishter is now based on that, is now based on knowing the falsehood and replacing it with truth. If a person is to grow up, somebody says this part, I don't remember who it is, that he figured if somebody is going to grow up, hachila frum, not knowing anything else about the outside world, about Avodah Zarah and whatever, then is their frumkeit really a true frumkeit? Maybe not. Maybe it's just because he doesn't know any better. That's not a right approach. The fact is, we don't expose our kids to all the chazarai of the outside world and say that we'll try to get them to choose the right thing. But that was Yisroel's idea anyway.
In other words, logically you deduce that there is Hashem.
Yes.
It's not Emuna.
Basically, right. So he was figuring you need something based more on logic rather than based on Kabbalah. So, okay, whatever. Anyway, that was Yisroel's Asvara. Anyway, so the Medrash brings the Shavua that Yisroel made Moshe swear this. Uh-huh. This is the Medrash Rabbah said. Yeah, that's the reason why Moshe hadn't mauled his son and he had to be forced into it. Whatever. But anyway. So what happened? So eventually it did have a certain effect because later on, the pasuk tells us near the end of Sefer Shoftim that there was a fellow named Micha who made himself a pestle, the famous pestle, the infamous pestle Micha. He was looking around for a kohen for it, and he found a wandering Levi. Who was this Levi? At the end, the pasuk says that you called him Yehonathan ben Gershom ben Menashe. But the nun of Menashe is sort of hanging above the line. So Gemara explains, Rashi brings it on the pasuk over there, that really the word is Moshe. This is Moshe's own grandson. That he became this priest for this statue. I think Mark explains in Baba Basra what No, that's a Gemara in Bava Basra. But the pasuk says Menashe. So the pasuk writes Menashe. The pasuk put in the nun out of respect to Moshe. Whatever it is, anyway, the Gemara continues there in Bava Basra. That the real reason why did Yonasan get into this in the first place is because he wanted money. He was poor. So Micha was offering him a good salary, and he's going to be able to have people are going to be bringing korbanos all the time for the idol, and then this Yonasan can convince them, well, look, the idol doesn't need them. It doesn't eat anything anyway. Give it to me. So he makes himself a nice living. So David HaMelech comes much later. David HaMelech realizes, you know what, we have somebody over here who, he likes money. Fine, you know what, let's put him in a job where he can handle money. And so you put him in charge of his treasury. But he did tshuva, this guy, this Yonasan, did tshuva, and therefore he got himself a new name. He's now called, in Hebrew, he's called Shvuel. Shvuel, Meloshin, Sheshav El Tel.
He made a shvuel?
No, Shvuel. Shin Vez Aleph Lamed, like an Argamara over here. Meloshin, Sheshav El Tel. He returned to the Eveshti, he did tshuva. And so David appointed him as his treasurer. Anyway, so that's the story of the Shvuel. But the point is, if you make a shavua on somebody's name, it's not chal. The same thing if shavuel is. So why would we even think? Even according to Bishamai, kinuyin are good. Shavuel wouldn't be one. Okay, ela shavuvoil, shavusil, shavukoil. Fine, not shavuel, but shavuvoil, which is not a name. So you took the shavua of our Mishnah, you took the word shavusa of our Mishnah and turned it into shavuvoil. You turned it into shavusil. Where he took shkuka and turned it into shkukoil. So, Mahu, what would be the din with all of those?
So, shvuel would not be the name of a person.
So, shvuel is the name of a person. Shvuvael is not the name of a person. Okay. So the Gemara leaves it unresolved, and actually Hagoyt HaBach takes out the word Mahu. And there's other Mephoshim who say that Mahu is actually the name of an Amora who said the next thing. Mahu, Omer Shmuel, that this Mahu said in the name of Shmuel. Here's another one, Ashivta Loi Omer Klum. If he takes the word Shvusa and again kind of turns it into a verb by making it into the word Ashivta, I will Shvusa. Loyamaklum, then what he said doesn't count for anything. Similarly, Ashkika Loyamaklum, if he takes Shkoka and turns it into a first person verb.
Because that's already too far.
That's already taking it too far from the original Kinnery. It's not recognizable as the original word.
The original word?
The original word would be Shvusa or Shkoka, as we said in the Mishnah.
And that would work.
So that would work, but these wouldn't. Similarly, krinsha loyamaklum. So there's also, if you use the word krinsha, which would be a variation of koina, the pashas, also doesn't count for anything. The Aruch has a different girsa. Instead of krinsha, he has a girsa kurnasa, that if a person says the word kurnas, you could have thought that kurnas is similar to the word koinas, therefore it should be a kinuri, but the word kurnas can also mean a hammer. So therefore we say, okay, the person's making a neder by a hammer, that doesn't count for anything. Then the Mishnah finished off Nader b'moihi, harei l'kinui, and then we had another case where a person makes a neder with moihi, which we discussed yesterday. Moihi can either be a variation of the Aramaic word for shvur, which is moimcha, or it can be a nickname for Moshe Rabbeinu. Tanya, Rav Shimon Gamliel, ha'omer b'moihi lo yomakum. If somebody says that I'm making a, that if somebody just says b'moihi, then what he said doesn't count for anything. But if he says with the shvua that Moshe, namely Moshe, said Harei the kinui in shvua, then that's a valid kinui for shvua. So the Ran brings over here two possibilities. What that means, what the difference is. One is that if he says b'moihi, it means I'm swearing by Moshe Rabbeinu, and we just said he swear by a person that doesn't count for anything. Whereas if he says by the shvua that Moshe made, fine, he's associating his shvua with Moshe's shvua, and that's valid.
Swearing by a person isn't considered already as Harei
in a way. No. And if there are actually a few places in the Gemara, there's a few places where one Amora says to the other one, Moshe Shapet Amrit, and there's one or two places of those where Rashi explains that Moshe is a Lashon Shavua. Like, I swear by Moshe, either a statement, Shapet Amrit, you're saying good, or a question, Shapet Amrit, is what you're saying really correct? I have a theory to it. Well, okay, there is a concept of swearing in Moshe's name, but we're saying over here it's not really a valid Shavua. And that's one way that Ram takes it. The other way is there's a difference whether he says bimoihi or whether he says moihi. Moihi would be a valid shvur because it amounts to a variation of the word for the Ram brings both of these explanations. So if he says moimi or moimsa, then it doesn't count. If he says bimoimi or bimoimsa, then it sounds like he's trying to make a shvur based on mo'i or based on mo'imsa. Well, based on what? That's not a valid thing to make a shvua. But if he just uses the word mo'imi, if he just uses the word mo'i or mo'imsa, then that's an actual lashon shvua. So then that's valid. In other words, there's a difference whether he says in mo'imsa or mo'imsa, or mo'i or in mo'i. Yeah. So bimo, so according to this case, bimoihi is nothing, but if he says moimi or moimsa, then it'll be fine. Yeah. Okay. Okay, next Mishnah. Continuing on examples of kinuyim. Or not really kinuyim, these are other terms that end up being equivalent to a carbon. Other terms for a carbon. They're not really kinuyim, which were words from foreign languages or whatever. They're sort of like synonyms for carbonus, as we'll see. So, they're Hebrew. Well, most of them. Some of them are Aramaic. But whatever. The point is, they're more like synonyms rather than konim, and konus, etc., is like the same word in another language. Or according to the Shlokish, they're words that the Chachamim themselves made up. But here what we're going to be talking in our Mishnah is there's various types of carbonus, and there's various things in the Mishnah. All of those are valid subjects for Nedarim. So, Ha'omer, if somebody says to his friend, Lachulin Sha'uchaloch, so the Haggadah Sabach actually says that it should not be Lachulin just like that with the lamed attached to the word chulin, but it's really supposed to be Lachulin. La meaning not. So not chulin that I whatever I would eat of yours. Or he says loy kosher v'loy dechei, or he says what I would eat from you is not kosher or not tahor. Dechei is the Aramaic word for tahor. Tahor v'tame, or he uses the word tahor or tame, nois or pigle. All of those are osir. The reason is like this. Well, we'll talk about. Okay, so wait. So lacholin, if we take, we're going to discuss it in the Gemara. But if we take the word lacholin, we can take the word lacholin as meaning lo cholin, meaning not cholin, what the opposite of cholin, kachin. So then you're saying, effectively, whatever I would eat of yours is also to me as if it was kachin. Same thing if he says loy kosher v'loy d'chei. We're not talking about over here when we say kosher, we don't mean kosher as opposed to treif. What would be in normal conversation, at least in those days when you use the word kosher, it was as opposed to posel. Where is the word kosher and posel relevant to karbanos? Similarly, Tahar and Tomei is relevant to Karbanos. It's not, I mean, okay, Ran points out that Tahar and Tomei can also be relevant to Truma. And we're going to say later that Truma is not a valid subject. You can't be machpis to Truma. But okay, it could, but with a lot of these things, we're going to be just... So the Ran points out, let's learn through the Mishnah, and then we'll see. The Ran makes a distinction. He says the Mishnah is distinguishing between three different types of things. Well, three different types of words or phrases that you could be using. We'll go through it in a minute. But there is a rule which we touched on before. We're going to have much more about it in the next parak called Stam Nedarim L'Hachmir. That normally, if you have something that you have reason to believe is a formula for a neder, then you machmir in it. So over here, if we have, for example, that he's saying law cholin, something not cholin, yes, the opposite of cholin could be truma, or it could be kachim. We go the chumra and assume it means kachim. Especially if there's a rule, we'll talk about it there, that einon moitzi dvarim levatala, that a person doesn't just say something for no reason at all. So if he's trying to declare that something is osir, we would assume that he's actually declaring it osir. Not that, for example, he's saying, on the contrary, that this thing is like cholin and therefore mutter, because then he'd have no reason to say it. Yeah. This, by the way, that we take the word lacholin and turn it into lacholin, but there's a bit of interesting discussion about that. It comes up in the davening of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, of Aseret Metzuvah. What do we say? One of the things we add in Shemoneh Esrei, whether there's Zochreinu L'Chaim, Melachavet B'Chaim, etc. The old Nusach actually was Zochreinu L'Chaim, with a papa. Maharam Rutenberg objected to that based on our Mishnah and the Gemara over here. If we're saying that L'Chulin can be broken down into L'Chulin, not Chulin, then L'Chaim could mean not life. And therefore, we should change it to L'chaim. How different is this?
No, but
No,
So
what about? I mean, there's many places in davening. There's many other places in davening where we use the word lachayim or other terms like that with a patach lamed. So I saw the notes of Kalim on Shulchan Aruch, the Taz and Among and Avram discussed the idea that fine, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah in davening, you want to be extra careful with what you're saying. So therefore, yes, let's go ahead and do this change that Maharam Rutenberg proposed and change lachayim to lachayim. But not otherwise. We don't necessarily have to change it throughout all the rest of davening.
In Mitzvah
Shechiyanu,
I don't
think that's the other. L'chaim v'lo l'chaim. Okay, l'chaim v'lo l'mavos. Yeah,
okay.
Lizman versus Lazman. That's a matter of dictum. That's a matter of dictum. That's a different issue. It's not. Lizman hazeh means Lazman hazeh is basically you have a double definite article. The patach under the lamed of lazman is the equivalent of a hey, and you also have hazeh. So it's repetitious. Lizman hazeh, therefore, means to the time, this one, which is to this time. It basically has the same meaning. It's just a matter of grammar. Okay, anyway, that's a side thing. But getting back to this, I saw there were siddurim that go according to the Vilna Gaon's shita where they actually change this all over the place. They have an ila, for example, after noisin yod lit poshim instead of our standard nusach la poshim, etc. But the original thing that Maharam Rutenberg talked about was as far as lachayim, and therefore accordingly we say lachayim instead based on this. There is, by the way, a good deal of discussion about this because the Rabbi Yaakov Emden objects. How in the world, he says, could lachayim possibly be understood as lachayim? One's a patach, one's a comet. So fine, he says maybe the Mishnah is talking about not you say lachulin, but rather you say lachulin with a comet. So then, law is with a chayim, but in Aramaic, law is with a comet. So others counter to that, but look, you know, I mean, among the Sfaradim, a patach and a comet are pronounced very much the same. So therefore, yeah, you could be saying lacholin, and it could easily be broken down into lacholin. Okay. Next case, the Mishnah says ki'imra. If somebody says that this food is to me ki'imra, like a lamb, and not just any old lamb, because then it wouldn't be an issue. It means there's a few possibilities what it can mean. All the mafreshim bring over here from the Yerushalmi over here. Number one, it can mean like a lamb that's used for the korban tamid. Number two, it can be like a lamb that's born from a chatas, which has a certain kedusha to it. Number three, it can be like the ram that Abraham. Yeah, a chatas is a female animal, so there's a case called vlad chatas. We talked about it in Yerma. No, the animal itself is a chatas, and then it's carrying a baby. Yeah, okay. The third possibility is that the imra over here we're talking about is the ram that Avraham Avinu brought as a korban instead of Yitzchak. Either way, we're talking some kind of korban, or kadirim, if he says, like the pens, it can either be the pen that they used for the animals, for the korbanos in the Beis Hamikdash, or it can be the pen, the room where they kept wood for the Mizbeach. Either way, that's a thing of Kedusha. Ke'etim, we mentioned like wood, meaning like the wood that's burned on the Mizbeach, or some of the Mefarshim say the Rosh brings over here specifically, and it means the two logs of wood that were brought every day, that was a mitzvah to bring every day on the Ma'aracha, yeah? That's what the Xerza cost is. I mean, they had to. They had to set up a pile of firewood there every day, but specifically there was a mitzvah for a Kohen to put two logs on in the morning and then two in the afternoon. Ke'ishim, we said like the fires, which means either it can be the actual fire on the Mizbeach, or it can be the animals that are the korbanos that are burnt in the fire, like we use the word ishe in the pasuk, ishe reach nechayach l'ashem, meaning the korban. Or kamizbeach, like Mizbeach, again, it can either mean the Mizbeach itself, or it can mean the korbanos that are brought on the Mizbeach. Kehechol, like the hechol, again, can either mean like the korbanos that are brought there, or the hechol itself. Yerushalayim, or like Yerushalayim, which there also you have the two possibilities, whether it means the city of Yerushalayim, or whether it means the kavanas that are brought in Yerushalayim. And when it comes to the city of Yerushalayim, there's a couple of possibilities. Either we can mean that the city, different mafreshim talk about the possibilities. Are we referring to the fact that the city itself has a certain kedusha greater than any other part of Eretz Yisrael, a certain dinim that applies specifically only to Yerushalayim? Or are we talking about the korbanos there? Or are we talking maybe even about the fact, similar to when we say the Mizbeach and the Heichel and so forth, Yerushalayim, the walls and towers of Yerushalayim, we learned this at the end of Ksubos, if they have money left over from the Trumas Halishka, from the money, from the Machzor Shekel money, then they spend it on fortifications and the city needs and whatever of Yerushalayim. So therefore, arguably, Yerushalayim is something that sort of belongs to Hekdesh, because parts of it are constructed out of Hekdesh money. So, that's what I'm saying. There's three different ways of understanding this Kir Shalayim. Is it the fact that we're saying that it's a valid neder, if he says Kir Shalayim, is it because he would be referring to the korbanos that are brought in Yerushalayim? Or a step back, is he talking about the kedusha of Yerushalayim as compared to everywhere else? Or even a step back from that, is he talking about the fact that Yerushalayim is built with Hekdesh money as opposed to any other place? So not a echad mekol mashamshem mizbeach, or he makes a neder using any one of the implements of the mizbeach, for example, the pans and whatnot that were used on the mizbeach. After he shalei hizkir korban, in all those cases, even though he didn't mention the word korban, hareiz in farbeber korban, nevertheless he made a neder using haspasa in korbanos. So if he says, for example, this food should be like the pans of the mizbeach, the implication is just like the pans are also b'hanah because they're used on the mizbeach, they're used with korbanos, so this food is also aser. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you say Yerushalayim, then what you said doesn't count for anything. We'll discuss in the Gemara what it means by that. Okay, so the Rosh. Well, that's what we're going to talk about. Yerushalayim versus Yerushalayim. We'll get there. Okay, so the Ran explains like this. The Ran explains there's three different types of cases we're talking about in the Mishnah over here. You have the first case is things like Chulin, where the word cholin itself would imply hefer. If you were to say this food is like cholin, then it's mutter. So if you want to say that, if you want to say it's also, then you have to be putting a lamed before it. And then that lamed, we're able to understand it as the word loy, and therefore you're saying not cholin, therefore kutchin.
So le cholin?
So, not le cholin, but la cholin, or la cholin, according to Rabbi Yaakov Emden.
With a shva? No.
Not with a shva. We're saying with a papdach or a chametz is the case, maybe. That's case number one. So that was the cholin case. Number two is any word that applies to kachim, even if we're talking about something, an isser that's not created by a person's actions, for example, such as noiser or pigel or what have you, but since those terms, or tameh or tahar, since those apply specifically to kachim, then therefore that's chal without any lamed, without any anything. So if he just says this food is like noiser, then it becomes osir to him. You don't need a lamed, you don't need anything. The third case is the last set of things in the Mishnah, Imra, Kedirim, etc., where those are not things where it's obvious that you're talking about something which is Osir. The word Imra, which means a lamb in and of itself, doesn't necessarily imply a carbon. So that's why we're going to have the Gemara is going to discuss over here that appointed of Yehuda, you have to say them with a kaf in order for it to be valid. You can't just say, for example, that when it comes to noiser, you can say this food is noiser. But if you were to say this food is imra, that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that doesn't accomplish anything. But if you say this food is ti imra, then it would be a valid name.
Meaning
like the lamb, as opposed to imra, the lamb.
Doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. So the Gemara starts off, savruha, that we start off with the assumption, My lacholin, when we said in the Mishnah lacholin, means loy lacholin lave el korban. It means not cholin, so this food should not be considered cholin. Rather, it should be considered a korban. Not that literally the food becomes a korban, but meaning it's osur to you under a neder as if it were a korban. Now, mani masnissim, the question is, who would the Mishnah be like then? Irab Meir, if you're going to say the Mishnah is like Rab Meir, and usually Stam Mishnah is, the problem is, less likely, call lava at the Shemeya Hain. Rab Meir does not hold of the concept that once you have a negative, then you can infer from it the positive. So what are we... One second. There's a concept throughout Shas called Tnai Kofel, that when you're making a Tnai, we talked about this a few times in Subas, when you're making a Tnai, when you're making a condition on something in Halacha, then you have to, according to Rab Meir anyway, you have to make a Tnai Kofel. You have to make a double Tnai. You have to explicitly say, if X, then Y, and if not X, then not Y.
But
that's the thing, it's implied, but Rab Meir doesn't accept that. Rab Meir, because Rab Meir learned it from the story of B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuben. Then Patrick Marcus, when God and Bnei Reuven come to Moshe and they ask for a place across the Yarden, and after Moshe finishes tearing into them, they explain to him, we're not going to go fight in Eretz Yisrael, we'll go help the Jewish people fight, and then we want to settle over here, because it's good for our cattle.
Mevel Yarden.
So Moshe says to them, fine, he calls together the Nesiim, and then he calls together the Nesiim, and Elazar, and Yeshua, and whatever, and he tells them like this. If Bnei God and Bnei Reuven cross the Yarden with you and lead the fighting against the Canaanim, then you should give them this land of Eber Yarden as their inheritance. But if they don't go across with you, then they should get then they'll have to stick with you in the western side in Eretz Canaan. So we see there's a positive and a negative. He didn't just say the positive and leave the negative to be inferred. He had to actually spell it out. If they don't go across, if they don't help in the war, then they will not get this territory. They will only get a territory in Eretz Yisrael.
But the second clause, second mention, was needed because if they don't cross the Yarden, then they have to be given something else.
Because the point is they're not getting this portion in Avery. Of course they'd have to get a portion somewhere. I mean they're still
point.
No, but he doesn't have to spell that out. That's not the point. The point is your mayor is saying we learned from that throughout Shas that whenever you're making a T'nai, it needs to be like the T'nai of Bnei God and Bnei Reuven, and that means you have to spell out the positive and the negative.
Based on this.
This was a matter of Dini Mominus, actually. So, okay, so in general, in Dini Mominus, plus also the Ran quotes from a Gemara elsewhere that also in the case of Soita and the case of Eders, then you need Hain and you need Lav. You need the positive and you need the negative. In the case of Dini Mominus, as well as Soita, as well as Eders. So the Ran points out, you were not talking Dini Mominus, but still, the Dorim have a certain connection to Mominus, because what are you saying with a Neder? We've talked before, a Neder is a Chesed thing. You're saying this object is also to me.
Right.
This object has value, therefore it's considered Mominus.
Yeah.
Anyway, so now Rameir does not hold Mikla Lav Hata Shemehen. He says you need to spell them both out explicitly. It's not, as we learn in the Mishnah and Kedushin. Rameir Omer Kol Tnai Sheina Ketnai Bnei God Bnei Ruven Ein Tnai. So what would that mean then? So if the person is saying Mikalalav from the negative after Shemei Hain, you can infer the positive and vice versa.
No,
he doesn't hold that. So what are we saying now? So what are we saying over here when he says La Chulin Sha'oichaloch? What is he saying? Not Chulin, I will eat from you. So what does that mean? Does that mean that we're trying to understand it that it means that he's saying. What you're asking me to eat by you, I'm not going to consider it chulin. I'm going to consider it the opposite of chulin, namely kodshim, and therefore it'll be also. But Rebbe doesn't hold of this mikal lav after shemei hein. According to him, the fact that he said law chulin doesn't allow us necessarily to say we infer from that that it means kodshim.
Yeah.
He would hold. You'd have to actually say kodshim or words to that effect. Elor of Yehuda he. So, okay, you'd have to say our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, why are we doing Davka Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? What about all the other Tanoim? Because usually when Rabbi Meir is going to have an argument with somebody, usually his Bab Plugta is Rabbi Yehuda. We have this in Silvis as well. Okay. The problem is, Amos Sefer, where we have the end of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Omer Yerushalayim Le'amakbum. Rabbi Yehuda says that if you say Yerushalayim, then it doesn't count for anything. Which, Mid Sefer Rabbi Yehuda, Reshalav Rabbi Yehuda. If Reshalav Rabbi Yehuda. The last words of the Mishnah are Rabbi Yehuda Omer Omer Yerushalayim Le'amakbum. So the implication is that midasefer Rabbi Yehuda reishalav Rabbi Yehuda. If only at the end of the Mishnah does Rabbi Yehuda speak up, that implies the rest of the Mishnah is not like him. So who is the Mishnah like? Unless you can find me a third Tana who also deals with this matter of Tanoim of Lav versus Hain, then you're stuck. The answer is Kula Rabbi Yehuda. The whole Mishnah, you could say, is like Rabbi Yehuda. But Hachi Katani, what the Mishnah means is Sher Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ha'omer Yerushalayim Le'amaklum. It's not Rabbi Yehuda is not making a new statement at the end of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda is clarifying what he said. You know why I said that only if you say Ki Yerushalayim is it valid? Because if you just say Yerushalayim, it doesn't count for anything. Because this would be, according to him, in other words, Yerushalayim is in the same category. It's not just Yerushalayim. It would apply to all the things beginning from Imra. This is the distinction that we said before that the Ran makes. The words Imra, Dirim, Eitzim, etc., in and of themselves don't imply necessarily a carbon. Therefore, you have to use the kaf hadimya, and you have to use the kaf of comparison to say that I'm comparing this food to the Imra, or to the Dirim, or etc., to Yerushalayim. To Yerushalayim, yeah.
Now, so you can compare to it.
So you're comparing it, and that means you're declaring a neder. But if you're just saying, this food is Yerushalayim, or this food is Imra, or what have you, Rabbi Yehuda would say that doesn't count.
Rabbi
Meir, we're not even dealing with. We're saying that we want to say that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Because if it's according to Rabbi Meir, then you have a problem with the Lacholin part. And the Gemara started off, actually, with the Savruha, saying that they had a Svara to say that Lacholin means that we break it up into Loicholin. So one second. So the Ran over here, Tosfos and not Tosfos, the Rosh and others talk about that. Usually, when the Gemara starts off saying something Svaruha, something first, then it means that at the end we end up rejecting that Svara. They say that's not what it means here. The Gemara does end up sticking with the idea that La Cholin or La Cholin, whatever, actually means La Cholin, not Cholin, and therefore the opposite of therefore the opposite, the antonym of Cholin. Okay, once in a while. So Sabruah means the Bnei HaYeshiva figure, to say.
Of Rabbi Yehuda?
No, the Bnei HaYeshiva of the time of the Gemara. When they were learning this Mishnah, how do we understand that Lacholin means that it's author? Because we understand Lacholin to mean Lacholin. But once in a while you have, there's a few places in Shas where the word Svaruha introduces a Svara, which we actually end up sticking with. That's how the Ran learns, that's how the Rosh learns. There are other Rishonim who learn that not. There are other Rishonim who learn based on the continuation of the discussion, that actually the Gemara does end up rejecting that. That the Gemara ends up making a distinction. Why is our Mishnah saying lacholin shoichalach? Is because what we're doing is we're sort of breaking up what he says into two parts, lacholin and shoichalach, which we'll get to as we go on in the discussion. We'll see how that fits. But among others, the Rambam holds that way, because the Rambam holds with Rabbeinu that you need a tnai kofel, that you need a double tnai in order for it to be valid. You don't learn the lav from the hain. But he also paskins that if you say lacholim shoichalach, that you're author. So according to the Rambam and according to some other Rishonim, you would have to say, when the Gemara says Savaruha, it actually means that we're going to end up rejecting this argument. That Lacholin does not necessarily mean Loy Lacholin.
Because
the Gemara is introducing it with Savaruha. That says Savaruha means that we end up rejecting, usually means that we end up rejecting that Savara. So Ran holds it means we accept it in the end. That's the Maharam Rutenberg obviously learned that way also. That's why he said this thing about Lachaim versus Lachaim, whereas the Rambam holds not. Okay, the question is, really, you're telling me that if you compare food to Yerushalayim, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would become aser? Rabbi Yehuda says in a braisa that if you say to Yerushalayim, then it doesn't count for anything. Unless you make a neder using something that is offered in Yerushalayim. So just to say, even you say like Yerushalayim, yes, there's the fact that Yerushalayim has Kedusha more than Eretz Yisrael. Yes, there's the fact that the walls of Yerushalayim are built out of funds and hektish and so forth. But that doesn't help us anything. Only if you're mentioning a korban and where a korban is brought in Yerushalayim, then it would be valid. Just saying like Yerushalayim doesn't count for anything. So therefore, so what are you telling me in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda is distinguishing between, that's according to Rabbi Yehuda. So what are you telling me that in our Mishnah, so according to our original understanding, if we wanted to say our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Meir, then good. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, ha'oma Yerushalayim ha'omakum. He means even whether you say Yerushalayim, ki Yerushalayim, or whatever, doesn't count for anything. But now that we're trying to say the whole Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, so he's making a distinction between ki Yerushalayim, which is valid, and Yerushalayim, which is not. But the Braisa says that ki Yerushalayim is also not valid. The answer is cooler Rabbi Yehuda. Still, you can say that the whole Mishnah, our whole Mishnah, is like Rabbi Yehuda. Which today Tanoi Yalev Rabbi Yehuda. Fine, you have two Tanoim who disagree within what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Because the Tana of our Mishnah would figure that Rabbi Yehuda holds when you say Ki Yerushalayim, Mishtama you have in mind the Karbonos that are being brought in Yerushalayim. Whereas according to the Tana from the Braita, no, you probably mean just the wood and stones and whatever, just the actual city itself, and that's not a Dover Akarib, that's not something that's below the carbon. So therefore according to them you'd have to say the carbon or one or at least one of the other synonyms that we said in the Mishnah, Kihimra, Kidirim, etc. Yeah. Tanya, we learned a Braita. If somebody says chulin, ha chulin, ki chulin, if he uses any of these expressions, chulin, or ha chulin, the chulin, or ki chulin, like chulin, ben sh'oichalach or ben sh'loichalach, whether he continues by saying that I will eat from you or that I won't eat from you, mutter, in all those cases, is mutter. Because what does it mean? If he says sh'oichalach, so what is it? Let's break it down. If he says cholin sha'oichalach, then what is he implying? He's saying, well, the food that I would be eating by you, to me, is considered cholin. Well, good, if it's chulin, then I'm allowed to eat it. Even if he says chulin shaloy oichaloch, we don't say that that means that what I don't eat from you will be considered chulin, implying, therefore, but what I would eat from you is not considered chulin. Why? Because, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, this braisa is going according to the mayor. Our Mishnah went according to the Yehuda, we said so far. This braisa is going according to the mayor. Reb Meir, we said before, doesn't hold of that you learn the lav from the hain, or vice versa. So he would say, you're saying chulin that I won't eat from you. Fine. We don't infer from that implying what I don't eat from you will be chulin, but what I would eat from you would be a carbon, and therefore it's also to me. No, because Reb Meir doesn't do that. Reb Meir doesn't do that. He says you have to say that. Right. Or that you'd have to say the one that you actually meet. So therefore, it'd be mutter. How about
lachol?
The halacha. So the halacha that's what I was mentioning before. That I'm paskin in a way a little bit of a hybrid. And in fact, Rabbeinu has a problem with Rambam on that over there. On the one hand, Rambam paskin like our Mishnah, if you say lachol and cholah, then you're osur. On the other hand, he paskins like Reb Meir that in general you need a tnai kofel. You don't learn the lav from the hain. And we're going to get to also, we're going to have the case of it here. What if there's two negatives involved? What if there's lachulin loy oichalach? Then you have a double negative. Do we say the double negative intensifies, or do we say they contradict each other, or do we break his statement into two? Actually, that's how the Kesef Mishnah explains. That's how the Rambam would understand this verse over here. That we kind of lachulin loy oichalach. That we kind of divide it into two separate statements. Lachulin implying kachim. Loy oichalach implying that I will not eat from you because it would be considered touching. Hey. Continues the braisa. Lacholin sh'oichalach aser. Lacholin loy oichalach mutter. On the other hand, if you say lacholin or loycholin sh'oichalach, that I will eat from you, then it's aser, because then the implication is what I would eat of yours is to be considered not cholin, namely touching. Therefore, it's aser. But if he says lachulin loy oichalach mutter, but if he says for the lachulin, which again we think can be broken down into loychulin, loy oichalach, I will not eat from you. Well, then you have two negatives that cancel each other out, and therefore you're left with that they saying what I won't eat from you won't be considered chulin, which implies but what I will eat from you will be considered chulin. Okay. Well, so there's nothing. The question is reisha mani Reb Meir. He's fine. Who did the first part of this braisa go like? It seems to be according to Reb Meir. Deles le mitzvah lavat hashem ehed. He said before that he doesn't hold that you can infer one from the other. So if he says chulin shaloi oichalach, we don't say that means the implication is, but what I would eat from you is not chulin, but rather kachim, or rather a carbon. Therefore it's mutter. If he says chulin shaloi oichalach, Reb Meir would say you only have the negative. You don't have the corresponding positive. Therefore, there's nothing to base yourself on. There's nothing to say. Therefore, that what I would eat from you shaloi oichalach should be considered to have any problem with it. So the first part of this braisa clearly goes according to Reb Meir. But Ema Sefer, look at the next part of the braisa. Lachulin loy oichalach mutter. We're saying that if he says lachulin loy oichalach, then we're saying he's mutter because we assume that means because the two loys cancel each other out. Altnan. But we learn in a Mishnah, the next Mishnah in our perek, lachorben loy oichalach rameir oiser. That if you say lachorben, I won't eat of yours, or Meir says it's oiser. Vikashalon, and when we learn that Mishnah, well, the Gemara discusses on it. And what's the problem? Again, Reb Meir doesn't infer one from the other. If he says la korban loy oichalach, that would imply what I don't eat from you should be considered a korban, implying but what I do eat from you shouldn't be a problem. So what's Reb Meir's problem with that? And Reb Abba says the difference is nasa ka'omer. What it is you break up his statement into two statements. La korban yehei. This thing should be for a carbon. Lefichach lo yochalach. Therefore, I won't eat it from you. In other words, the point is like this. The Ran explains. When we say la cholin or la carbon or whatever, it's kind of equivocal. It could mean, as we've been saying all this time, that you're breaking it down into loy carbon or loy cholin or whatever. But it could also mean la carbon as carbon or la cholin as cholin, etc. So therefore, so the mayor says that if you say so even you have the over there lock korban loy ochaloch, so you definitely have one negative loy ochaloch. You have the other potential negative lock korban, and the mayor says that what we actually do is we break it into two statements: lock korban and loy ochaloch. So hachanami. So shouldn't it be the same thing over here? Hachikarmalei. Shouldn't we say the same logic? Loy chulin lehevei lefichach loy ochaloch. Shouldn't we say by the same logic then in our brisa that if you say lock chulin loy ochaloch, that we have to assume that the word lachulin could be broken down into loy chulin. In other words, again, because every when you say lachulin or lachulin or whatever, you have these two possible meanings. It can mean for chulin or for carbon or whatever, or it can mean not chulin or not carbon. According to the mayor, if we're saying that we can break a statement into two, then when he says lachulin loyochaloch, we should understand it as meaning not chulin. I won't eat from you. Not chulin, meaning this is not chulin, but rather kachim. Therefore, I will not eat from you. So that would be valid. But our braisa said, but our braisa said mutter. Our braisa said mutter. So how does that fit according to the mayor? The answer is high tana sokla. For the mayor, b'chadur polagalim. The kasha is that the braisa seems to be saying different than the next mishnah. The next mishnah we're assuming is according to the mayor because we don't have any reason to say that it's not. And that Mishnah had in the Gemara on that Mishnah we introduced this concept that the word that his state not only the word lakorban or lacholin or whatever can be broken into two, but also the statement as a whole can be broken into two. You can have not that he's saying lacholin la'urchalach, meaning what I won't eat of yours will not be considered cholin, as opposed to, therefore, what I would eat from you is considered cholin, and therefore would be mutter. No, break it into two. La cholin, not cholin, therefore kachim. Lo yochalach, therefore I won't eat from you. And we see from the next mishnah that that's how the mayor can parse the guy's statement. So then why is our braisa saying flat out that it's mutter? The answer is, well, within your mayor itself, and the answer is yes. Just like we said before about Rabbi Yehuda. Hai tana, sohla, for the mayor, b'chadra, or polygale, b'chadra. Yes, the tana of this braisa holds like Rabbi mayor as far as one detail, and all gives with him on the other detail. He agrees with him on the one concept. The less way the kalavat hashemehain. He does not hold. He does not hold the tana of this braisa. It doesn't matter. But whoever he is, he agrees with your mayor about that you can't say mikal labat the shemei hein, that you have to spell things out. You can't just say a negative and infer from it a positive, or the other way around. It has to be like tanai b'nei God and b'nei Reuven, where you spell out both sides of it. So therefore he would say that if you say chulin shaloi oichalach, we don't infer from it the converse, that loi chulin what I would eat from you, to say that it's also. But he disagrees with him on the matter of on the matter of the carbon. That he says that he would say, unlike when the mayor says that la carbon shalai urchalach means we divide his statement in two.
On what does he disagree with?
He's disagreeing on that. He's disagreeing with it.
On what?
This idea of Reb Meir, that you break his statement into two and say La Korban is one statement, and therefore, because of that, Loy Oichaloch, this Tana doesn't agree with that.
He doesn't agree
that you break it in two.
Two.
So if you say, so he would say by both by Loy Lecholin and La Korban. If you say Loy Lecholin, Loy Oichaloch, he would say it's not broken into two statements. It's one big statement. Therefore, the two negatives cancel each other out, and you're left with chulin sha'ir chalach, whatever I would eat of yours is chulin, which is fine. Similarly, if he says la carbon lo'ir chalach, then we would say it means not a carbon. I will not eat from you, which implies, but what I do eat from you is
one statement.
So it's one statement, yeah.
And the other one.
So where's your mayor would believe that you could break it in two.
The
Ran, by the way, brings over here another girsa from the Ravid that when we said over here at the beginning lachulin shoychalach, that the girsa is actually not chulin but rather chalin. Usually the word chala is Loshon Nekeva, and the plural of it is Chalos, which is also Loshon Nekeva. But apparently there were people who would put a Loshon Zachar, a masculine suffix onto it, so they turn into Chalin. And we're not just talking about any Chalos, we're talking about the Chalos of a Torah. We said yesterday that a Torah is brought with 40 loaves of bread, 10 loaves of each of three types of masa, yeah, and one, and 10 loaves of chametz.
It's the only korban, I suppose.
It's not the only one. There's also the korban of a nazir, one of the shlamim of a nazir is also brought with bread, with 20 loaves of bread.
Those are the two.
Those are the two, yeah. Aside from that, there's the shtei alechem on shavuos, so that's the korban sibur, yeah. So the usual case when you talk about chalos is usually in connection with the Torah, because it's much more common for somebody to bring a Torah than a nazir.
When do you offer the korban Torah?
The primary thing is if a person has been saved from a dangerous situation. It's the famous Abbas Zrichon Lahodos, the four cases when nowadays you bench Goymol. So in those days you bring a korban for it. There's actually a machlokas, a post scheme. Is it only those four cases, or is it other similar things? It's actually, in by and large, it's a machlokas. Within the Torah itself, for dangerous situations, generally speaking, Ashkenazic poskim based on the Ramah holds that it's not just those specific four that it mentions in Kapitel Kuf Zayin. What are they? Somebody who crossed the Chula, somebody who was sick, Yam, somebody who crossed the ocean, Yisurim, somebody who was in jail, and Midbar, somebody who crossed the desert. So Ashkenazic poskim generally hold, and the Al-Tadabra writes in Masidur, that it's not just those four cases, it's any other cases where a person was in danger and got out of it.
Scottish
poskim hold that no, it's only those four that the pasuk mentions. Okay, whatever it is, anyway. I mean, a person could also bring a Torah voluntarily. We said yesterday that the chassidim or rishonim wanted to bring all types of korbanos, they would arrange to bring a korban Torah at some point, because you can bring a korban Torah voluntarily. A Torah is basically just a special type of shlomim, and a shlomim can be brought voluntarily. Anyway, returning to what we're saying over here, the Ravid Gisa is over here. He's not saying lachulin, but rather he's saying lachalin, namely the chalos of the Torah, which is a type of korban. So then, therefore, the Gemara is directly comparing lachulin to lachorban, the same way as Reb Meir says in the next Mishnah that lachorban lo'ochalach. That again, we break it into two, and we say lachorban, not a korban lo'ochalach. We say it's equivocal. Lachorban could either mean not a korban, or it can mean for a korban, what I won't eat of yours, meaning that I won't eat your stuff because I consider it a korban.
Right.
Same thing with chalin. If he's comparing it to the chalos of, to the chalos of the Torah, yeah. Okay.
One statement or two?
Yeah. Rav Ashi gives a different answer. Had Amar L'chulin, there's a difference. Whether he says, what do we say? We had a problem with the Braisa, the fact that he says L'chulin lo oichalach mutter, and we said, doesn't that contradict what it says in the next Mishnah about L'chorban? Rav Ashi is answering very simple. It depends what Nekudas he used. If had Amar L'chulin, or L'chulin, but had Amar lo L'chulin. One is where he said it with a shva, or with a patach, meaning that for chulin. So then what is he saying? La chulin la ochalach. As chulin, I will not eat it. As chulin is whatever of yours, I don't eat. Which therefore implies, but I'm not saying anything about what I am going to eat from you. Because again, Reb Meir doesn't hold that miklal la bat shemei hein. So as far as Reb Meir is concerned, you've made a neder about what you're not going to eat.
Right.
Fine, but what you are going to eat, you haven't made any neder on. Therefore, you're good. V'hadama loyla chulin, whereas the other one is when he says not chulin, demashma loyla have a chulin elik carbon. Whereas if he says loy chulin, loy oichalach, that Reb Meir would agree that you don't need a machlokas tanoim within, you don't need a machlokas tanoim with Reb Meir. You can say Reb Meir himself would agree with this braisa, that if you say loy lachulin, then yeah, it means not chulin, but rather a carbon.
So, lichulin
would just mean as chulin.
Right.
Lachulin or lachulin, whatever, would mean it's not chulin. What's not chulin?
It's
not, it is hetish, it's kachim, yeah. So the bottom line as far as the halacha again. So the Ran just says over here the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. That once you have the negative, you can infer the positive. Therefore, the halacha would be in our Mishnah that if you say lachol and shalach halacha, and you have any of these cases in our Mishnah, then they you infer the positive, and therefore it is a valid neder. Again, the Rambam does pask in that way as well.
Like
Rabbi Yehuda. But on the other hand, he also paskins to a certain extent, like Rabbi Meir, namely for first of all the next Mishnah that talks about La Korban, and also in general the Rambam holds of the concept in the Kla that you need Tnai Tafel. So that I've mentioned before, that the Raivad disagrees with the Rambam on that, and the Kesef Mishnah explains that the Rambam learns our Gemara to say that the Gemara started with the assumption, for example, that la chulin means not chulin. The Gemara is not necessarily keeping that svara at the end. At the end, when you say la chulin, lo ochalach, what you're saying in effect is that what I'm not going to eat of you. In effect, you break, as we said before, you're breaking a statement. It's two statements. You're saying not chulin. Or no, because we said that la chulin in the end we're saying we don't want to say means not chulin. So we're saying fine chulin, but we're saying what I don't eat from you is chulin, implying, but what I would eat from you is kodshim, and therefore would be also.